Hello and welcome to the Dish Podcast. I'm Lawrence Russell, Deputy Editor of Connectivity Business News. I'm joined today by Mahmoud Kafaji from Link Global. Mahmoud, how are you feeling today?
Good, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you very much for asking. We had a webinar last week. Earlier this week, but this will come out the week after. How did you think it went?
I think it went well. I mean, I think overall the industry is looking at satellite direct to phone as a big opportunity. There's a lot of interest from many angles. And thanks for having us again the same week.
No worries, it was our pleasure. So on the call, George Diazoglu predicted we'd see 1.9 billion devices by 2035. Does that sound about right? And what does that mean for the wider ecosystem?
Yeah, so I mean, we look at it slightly different. So when we look at this, we connect existing mobile phones to our satellites in orbit. So from a sort of an end user perspective, there is two types of users we're looking at, right? So there is existing mobile phone users, right? And there's about 5 billion devices out there that have some sort of terrestrial coverage. That being said, sometimes they venture outside of terrestrial coverage. So I anticipate that on a global basis to be about 15%. And this is through some market research and anecdotal data from more extensive research on handsets themselves. So we worked with companies that have some sort of applets or apps on the phones that track the usage of the mobile phone users. We have seen that people are disconnected in many parts of the world. And this ranges from anywhere upwards of 40% of the time in sub-Saharan Africa. And it's much less in Europe, for example. I think it's about 6 or 7%. But overall, the average is about 15%. So that's sort of one subset of users, which are the existing mobile phone users. And then the other subset of users is the users that don't have any devices. So the population of the globe now is about 8 billion. There's just over 5 billion devices out there. So you can see there is obviously a gap. A lot of people are disconnected. We believe that there is about 600 million people or new devices that would be added to the market. And that's an incremental number of devices in addition to whatever we'll connect for that with people that already have phones. And the fact that we're backward compatible, so we can work with any phone, whether it's the most recent, most expensive phone, all the way to a feature phone that's been around for decades. And we believe the total addressable market among these two sort of subsets of users is upwards of $300 billion total addressable market. And the overall industry, as you may know, is about a $1 trillion industry. So again, this is a potential opportunity for the mobile industry to increase the revenue and obviously connect users everywhere.
Right. Do you think that a lot of these demands are going to come from the bare bones connectivity of mobility, or do you think there's going to be new mobile applications that are going to draw more satellite capacity?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is this is going to be a mainstream service, right? So you're going to have connectivity wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're near the biggest city or out in rural areas. In the very near future, people won't even know that this is satellite connectivity. They will just be connected everywhere, and that could be a terrestrial cell tower or a cell tower in space. I mean, applications are probably going to be the same eventually as the what's on the terrestrial network. So obviously, we start with messaging, right? Because and we increase the applications as we increase our number of satellites and get to voice and data and get to the mainstream applications you have on your phone today.
I may throw you here as a bit of a tangent, but a few years ago, Pokemon Go caused a big stir in the world of mobile apps by creating this sort of new dynamic where people were being sent all over the place into more remote places in order to sort of play this game out in the world. And it seemed to draw a lot of heads in the investment community. You saw it as a new trend that they're still putting quite a bit of funding into. Do you expect to see more applications like that in the future that are taking people away from cell coverage, or was it just flash in the pan?
Well, I don't know for a fact what's going to happen for as far as like Pokemon Go or some of the applications, but what I do predict is when people have connectivity everywhere, then there may be more applications that are available for them when they're disconnected. So, and that would allow for even more connectivity, and sort of more applications and productivity, generally speaking.
Perfect. So we briefly got into defense implications in direct to device. Have you looked into connecting mission critical phones? What's that market like for you?
Yeah, I mean, from our perspective, since we're backward compatible with all existing phones, we see that applicable for many, many verticals and industries. So yeah, I mean, the key part is you don't have to have a new device or a new hardware or new antenna to connect to a satellite in order to be connected in rural areas. So I think this applies for many, many applications.
Wonderful. We spoke very briefly about Starlink verticalization. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think it's a real threat?
Yeah, I think as far as Starlink, so are you w what part of Starlink exactly are you referring to? Is it
So
like
the idea of the Tesla phone potentially prioritizing Starlink connectivity.
Yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, once you are connected to a cell tower in orbit, right, you do not need a new phone in order to do that. Right. So whether it's Tesla phone or some other phone with a new chipset that doesn't exist yet, we believe there will be less demand for something like this. Because at the end of the day, the user won't even be able to distinguish from a terrestrial coverage or cell coverage from space. So yeah, I think at that point there'll be less need for a special device. So, and just to give you an idea, so NSR, which is a large market research company, they have categorized the satellite direct-to-phone category as the largest opportunity in the satellite industry. So,
So, do you have any lingering worries that there may be any monopolization plans, whether they're from Starlink or otherwise, in direct to device?
No, we believe this is a big market. As I mentioned earlier, the total addressable market is very, very big. So we believe there's going to be more than one player. And then the other area is the mobile network operators. For pretty much all of their vendors, they have a multi-vendor strategy, right? So, and it's good for the overall industry. It's good for the end users. So certainly it's going to be more than one player in the industry. We believe it's going to be Lincoln and somebody else.
Fantastic. I saw some of NSR's reporting around that myself. It was you were definitely up there. They had very firm things to say about you. So finishing off here, what can we expect from Link in 2024? What's coming up?
Yep. So there's a couple of things going on, right? So we have a lot of traction from mobile network operators. We're signing more and more contracts. Right now, we have more 40 mobile network operators signed up. We're going to expand service for more and more countries. There is one country that's coming up very, very, very soon. And then there will be others throughout the year. And then we're also going to expand our constellation and build and launch more satellites this year and into the coming years as well.
Very exciting. We're going to be paying close attention and hope to speak to you again about this when it all comes together. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Terrific. So, Mahmoud Kafaji, Director of Product Management, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Lawrence.